12 minutes after 7, as the papers indicate, as well as, of course, the morning news here at KPFA. 10 officers of the San Francisco Police Department have gone on leave of absence. Actually, the chief of police, Earl Sanders, has gone on a medical leave, the others on leave of absence. We're joined on the telephone by Tim Redman, editor of the San Francisco Bay Guardian, to give a bit of political analysis of what's going on here. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
This thing gets deeper and deeper. Matir and Ross in the Chronicle this morning indicate that actually there's a breakdown between Chief of Police Earl Sanders and Willie Brown. Willie Brown is furious with Sanders for having hired a former law partner of Willie Brown, Phil Ryan, weeks and weeks ago to challenge the authority of District Attorney Terrence Hallinan to pursue this case, and instead trying to push it over to the State Attorney General, Bill Lockyer. So it sounds like everybody is at each other's throat here.
This thing is a mess. What you have now in San Francisco is a police department that literally no one knows who's in charge. The mayor seems to have flip-flopped a couple times. First, he's strongly in support of Earl Sanders. Now, maybe he's mad at Earl Sanders. The real problem here has been the San Francisco Police Commission. The Police Commission has the authority to make a decision here, to say, you know what, the chief of police is under a criminal indictment for what could be a very serious charge. The chief needs to take not some kind of temporary medical leave where he essentially is still in charge, but the chief needs to be put on administrative leave, and the department needs to be in the hands of someone who has the full faith and authority of the police commission to run the department. That did not happen. Instead, the commission said that Earl Sanders is still the chief. Heather Fong is a temporary acting assistant chief, while the truth is, if Sanders is actually away on medical leave, Heather Fong will be running the department. But here is potentially the first time a woman is actually running the San Francisco Police Department. And does the commission give her full faith and authority? Do they make a statement saying we have complete faith in her ability to run the department? No. It's all this kind of half-assed, well, she's the acting assistant who will kind of be running things, but Earl Sanders is really running things. And nobody knows what the hell's going on. It's just a mess. And I think the police commission has really abrogated its authority and its responsibility to do something here.
So Tim Redman, explain for people who maybe didn't read all the articles in the paper, and there is a lot of ink on this story, that what exactly happened? There was speculation that perhaps these officers were going to be put on leave. They ended up, most of them, taking medical leave or doing a kind of end around that process to sort of take the heat off. So who made decisions about any of this, or did they just sort of just jump ahead of the gun and make sure that a decision couldn't be made by going on leave themselves?
That's a very good question. And, you know, one of the things that the San Francisco Police Commission has been notorious for is not telling the public what's going on. The public meetings of the police commission on this have been relatively limited in the sense that they've taken testimony, they've listened to the public, but they have discussed almost all of this behind closed doors, some of which may be appropriate for personnel decisions, but in general, on a policy level, they have not told the public what's going on. What seems to have happened here is the command staff under Chief Sanders decided on their own, or under pressure, perhaps, on the advice of their attorneys, to take administrative leave, which means basically unpaid vacation. They're not on the payroll. They are not in the line of command. They're basically removed from their operations at the department while these charges are being settled. That's an appropriate thing, and the police commission should have directed the chief to put them on administrative leave immediately from day one. That's what normally happens when a cop is involved in something as difficult and controversial as this. When a cop is under indictment on criminal charges, they're normally put on administrative leave so that they're not essentially still doing their jobs while they're being charged with a serious crime. The chief isn't doing that. The chief has not been put on administrative leave. In fact, the commission hasn't done anything, has taken no action whatsoever dealing with Chief Earl Sanders. The chief himself has decided to take medical leave, apparently for high blood pressure, and I think what he's trying to do is get out of the line of fire for a few weeks without essentially giving up his job.
Well, in today's Crown, also on the op-ed piece, Joseph McNamara, former police chief of San Jose, indicates that it's not up to these officers to, of their own volition, take a leave of absence. It is, in fact, the rule that they are put on leave by the police commission, that they are, that this is not in any way a discretionary act. This is an absolute. So we've got many people playing games here.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. That is an absolute. That is absolutely what should have happened. And all along here, you really get the feeling that the police commission is afraid to make a decision, that they're unwilling to do anything that might cause a little bit of controversy, particularly when the mayor comes storming in and says, you know, as he said, I'm the commander-in-chief of this goddamn town, and you're not doing this, and basically trying to order the commissioners around. The commissioners, of course, are appointed by the mayor. And he's telling them what to do, despite the fact that it violates not only the generally accepted rules of how you handle a police situation like this, but it violates basic sanity. I mean, you live in San Francisco long enough, and you start to get used to this kind of systemic corruption and insanity at City Hall. But you take a half step back and look at this and think about it. The entire command staff, or most of the command staff of the San Francisco Police Department, has just been indicted for obstruction of justice. And what is happening? What has the police commission done? Basically nothing. They have shown no leadership here at all.
And can you give us a sense, because I don't know, who's on the police commission? Is it mostly former police officers? How is it made up?
You know, under Willie Brown's San Francisco commissions that actually run a lot of the departments of the city seem to be appointed with no connection whatsoever to knowledge of the subject. People have been appointed to commissions because they are friends of the mayor, because they gave money to the mayor, because they satisfy some political constituency that the mayor is trying to deal with. No, most of the members of the police commission do not have significant experience in law enforcement. That's not what commission posts are about in Willie Brown, San Francisco.
Tim Redmond, let me also just mention that we did try to contact the San Francisco Police Department, and our calls were not returned. So we were hoping we might be able to get some comment from them as well about what's going on. Go ahead, Philip.
Well, I want to ask about Terrence Hallinan and the extent to which he is on the side of the Angels and the extent to which he is keeping an eye out for that November election where he is going to try to seek a third term to be district attorney. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, clearly it's a little of both. I mean, the fact that he's running for re-election, I'm sure, played a role in the way he's handled all of this. On the other hand, I really think that this was a decision that Terrence Hallinan couldn't avoid. I think that when he saw the evidence, when he saw what was going on with this case, I think he realized he had to act. He couldn't just let it go. He couldn't just essentially ignore it the way everyone else in town was trying to do. These were serious. If this was true, if what was being brought to his office was true, these were very serious charges. He had no choice but to take this to a grand jury. And when he took it to the grand jury and the members of the grand jury looked at the charges and came back with a series of indictments, he has no choice but to pursue this. I mean, I would say in this entire mess, the DA seems to be the only one who's actually doing his job. He actually followed up the charges, brought the case to a grand jury, and is now prosecuting it. And, once again, here we are in San Francisco where the district attorney is doing his job and bringing criminal charges against somebody because a grand jury has said that that's the proper thing to do. And he's under virtually universal attack. The mayor is attacking him. The police department is attacking him. The San Francisco Examiner is attacking him up, down, and sideways. You know, it's as if this guy has done something horribly wrong. What he actually did is what the district attorney is supposed to do in this case.
We're speaking with Tim Redmond, who's the editor of the San Francisco Bay Guardian, about the scandal that is rocking the San Francisco Police Department. If you'd like to join our discussion with a question or comment, give us a call here at 510-848-4425, 510-848-4425. Well, Tim, you're right. For me, it's hard to figure out exactly how much politicking is going on and how much of this is really trying to deal with the scandal. But it's also interesting that it seems like it's really two different cases. The case of the street brawl that happened, which is one level of police misconduct, and then this cover-up afterwards. The street part of it is seemingly more sort of par for the course, it seems to me. How much is the upper scandal, you know, of the upper echelon, a surprise to you or different than anything you've heard before? Or is this to you par for the course as well?
Well, your question raises several important points. And one is, yes, in fact, both of them are par for the course, sadly. The San Francisco police have a bad history of beating people up and of getting away with abuse against citizens. And, you know, it is not unfortunately surprising that several young cops got in a fight
over
with
some steak
fajitas and allegedly beat them up. It's not surprising. And in fact, if the police department had handled this the way they are supposed to, the way the laws are on the books, the way the rules are set up, that's as far as it would have gone. The cops would have been brought down to the station. They would have been fingerprinted and booked for assault. They would have been checked for alcohol and drugs. They would have had their clothes would have been checked for blood. All the normal procedures that you do in an assault case would have been followed. And it's conceivable there would have been criminal charges against them. More likely, they would have been disciplined, suspended, gotten a month off without pay or something like that, and been back on the force. It might not have even been that big a deal. Instead, what happened was, apparently, from day one, from moment one, there was a concerted cover-up at the top. That's what the charges say. That from that point, in part because one of the cops is the son of the assistant chief, in part because this is just the culture of the San Francisco Police Department, the whole attitude was cover this up, don't let anything happen, don't let anybody find out what's going on. And, you know, unfortunately, what we've had in San Francisco, and again, I pin this right at the top on the mayor's office, we've had a culture of corruption and cover-up in this city and in this administration, where essentially the working rule is, if you can keep this out of the press, if you can keep this covered up, nothing happens to anybody. Now, in this case, interestingly enough, there are a lot of people in the department, particularly a lot of women and lesbian and gay officers, who seem profoundly unhappy with, particularly with Assistant Chief Alex Fagan, but also with generally the way the department has been run in the last few months. And I think a lot of them didn't want to stand by this. And I think what happened was people went to the press, people leaked information, stuff got out, particularly to the Chronicle, which to its credit has done a fairly good job pursuing the story. Mm-hmm. And if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't be hearing anything about this. This was not going to come from the top brass, from the mayor, from the police commission. It's only because word leaked out from disgruntled officers, because the newspapers pursued this story, and because the district attorney had no choice but to act, that any of this came down.
We're going to go to our first caller. Ray's on the line from San Francisco. Good morning, Ray.
I think you're right, Tim, that it is business as usual. But the point, the question I think to address is, how long does it have to go on like this? Because, you know, things usually have, as people say, to get a lot worse before they get better. And this is not out of continuity. I mean, the guys think if it was Hollywood, the question would be, who's going to have their name on that snack bag? If it was New York, the question would be, what inning is it? So, I mean, all these people think it's the Sopranos. And it's a national policy to cover up the facts of murder from the top down. So when we have this happening in San Francisco, are we supposed to be surprised? What do you think could possibly take the place of this kind of a police department? You know, I mean, stretch your imagination.
Tim?
Well, the point you make is, Rigger, how long is this going to go on? I'll tell you, it's going to go on until we have a new mayor, which is going to happen at the end of this year. And all of a sudden, I think, interestingly enough, one of the things this scandal does is it transforms not only the district attorney's race, but it transforms the mayor's race, and it makes the mayor's race in San Francisco as much about corruption at City Hall as about homeless people, which is what Supervisor Gavin Newsom was trying to make the mayor's race about. Now, all of a sudden, all these candidates are going to have to start talking about what is wrong at the top in this mayoral administration to allow this to happen, and what are they going to do differently? You know, there's a lot of significant police reforms, police accountability reforms that could take place in San Francisco. The first one is just enforcing the rules that exist now. If they even just follow the rules now about police oversight and accountability, about how the Office of Citizen Complaints is supposed to relate to the police department and how the department is supposed to deal with the sustained complaints that come from the Office of Citizen Complaints, if they followed their own internal rules about discipline, their own internal guidelines, we'd be a huge step forward before we even got into significant reforms. And I think what the mayoral candidates have to do is say, I'm going to appoint police commissioners who are tough, who are willing to stand up to the department and are willing to make independent decisions. And in my administration, this climate of corruption and cover-up is simply going to change. And if we can get a mayor elected who's willing to do that, I think we may see some changes.
So a new mayor means a completely new police commission, right?
A new mayor generally means a completely new police commission.
Let's go next to Sue, who's calling in from San Francisco. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. I agree with Tim that this has a lot to do with the mayor's attitude on how he appoints commissioners, and it goes way beyond the planning commission. The mayor
the
has had
commission.
Real contempt for both the public as well as the commissioners that he appoints. It is not just the police commission that is unqualified. across the board, you really do not have commissioners who deeply understand or care about the departments they manage. And they just wing it.
Well, let me ask you about that, Tim. Is there any so the appointments to the police commission just come down? There's no public input debate at all on who is appointed to that commission?
No. Fortunately, because of some of the serious problems that Sue was talking about with other commissions, the Planning Commission and the Board of Appeals, for example, those are no longer completely under the authority of the mayor. And that is a very positive reform that we've seen because of rebellion by the public and the district elected supervisors over exactly what Sue was talking about, over the fact that you have people on these commissions who have no idea what they're doing, are completely unqualified to be on the commission, and are essentially political hacks. So now the Planning Commission and the Board of Appeals, at least some of the members are appointed by the Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supervisors has oversight over all of the appointments. That ought to be the case with the Police Commission, too. Mm. But more important, we ought to have a mayor who thinks about more than purely political calculus when he or she appoints commissioners. You need a mayor who looks around and says, wait a minute, does this person know anything whatsoever about the job?
That would be a surprise. Tim, before we're out of time, I do want to raise the question of race in all of this. Earl Sanders, the first African-American police chief in San Francisco, Deputy Chief David Robinson, also African-American, Captain Greg Corrales, Latino. I've talked to several people who think that if the chief were white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, that Terrence Hallinan would leave him alone.
I don't think that's true in this case. In fact, the person who is probably, well, one of the people who may be most at fault in this, not just in terms of the cover-up, but in terms of the way the department has been run in the last few months, is Assistant Chief Fagan, who is a white guy. I don't know what religion he is, but he's a white guy. I think that is a factor in the way this is being portrayed. It is unfortunate and sad that the first African-American chief has gotten caught up in this, but given, you know, now we have the woman who is at least temporarily running the department would be the first Asian woman, not the first Asian, but the first Asian woman, and certainly the first woman to be running the department if she were in charge. I think we're going to revolve around race. But really, if you look at what happened here, I just don't see it as a major factor.
Well, we are going to let it go, and no doubt this topic will continue to be on the front burner, both here at KPFA and in San Francisco, and in the Bay Guardian that comes out, I gather, with a break in the story tomorrow. Which
we will be coming out with some information about Chief Sanders and his past that has not come out yet tomorrow. And so people should look for that on the streets tomorrow morning.
The Bay Guardian. Okay, Tim Redmond, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Pleasure to join you.
It's 7:30 in the a.m. coming up right after the news. We're